Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
Is off to its best start in 3 years. Home Saturday, as you know, with the start of the Big Ten coming up in a couple of weeks. Fall sports in high gear, and we'll be going behind the scenes with IU Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, on this IU Night. It's brought to you in part by the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, a proud sponsor of BTS with Fred every Tuesday once a month during our season. So visit IUHoosiers.com for more information about IU Athletics, 24 sports, one team. A little bit later, her ninth year of coaching now, having won an invitational tournament title each and every year, veteran Hoosier volleyball coach Sherry Dunbar. Cruzan, her Hoosiers, 4 in a row, 7-2, getting ready to begin another season of the Big Ten as well in a couple of weeks. Certainly the premier circuit in all of the country. And we'll also chat with senior libero team captain Courtney Harnish of Muncie, who recently reached and passed the 800 career digs milestone, and a young woman involved as well in numerous community service activities right here in her town, one of our brightest scholar athletes at Indiana University. And we look forward to talking with Courtney here in a bit, along with our producer Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanne and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, including Indiana University Athletics. Welcome once again to our little Tuesday night night of conversation at the corner of 10th and Indiana, our home away from home, Yogi's Grill and Bar. This is Sports Talk, and Fred alongside, and, you know, I want to start because I know you were busy earlier today handing out a nice surprise to the dean of Big Ten coaches, Lynn Loring, and the IU women's tennis team. And what a brand new locker facility. We'll start there. What a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I forget, though, I want to make sure you ask Courtney about her trip to Vietnam
this
last summer. Yeah, it's really a cool family story and a neat thing. She's a neat young lady. Yeah, it was fun. We went over to the tennis center today and unveiled the new women's tennis locker room and team room. And Joe, I gotta confess, it's been a long time coming, because their locker rooms, and the men's as well, were just subpar. You know, they just weren't up to what they should be. Kids spent a lot of time in there, and I'm really proud that in the last few years we have completely renovated, replaced, built out, or fixed up every team locker room and team room in the department. That sounds like maybe kind of a small thing, but it's a big deal because that's where the kids literally and figuratively live. And it was fun to put the final piece in place, which was the women's tennis locker room.
Well, in addition to that, you got a joining right there, a new conference room built for the coaches and the team to utilize. So there's going to be a lot of teaching and all in one space. And I love those leather cream crimson cushions and chairs in there. And typically IU, but the amenities continues. And like you said, and we had some refurbishing to the varsity courts here not long ago with new scoreboards and what have you, but that is really a nice touch, and I know Lynn obviously was very, very pleased to see that.
Yeah, he was great, and he is our dean. We came to campus the same time, 1977.
Well, is this his 39th year?
Coach.
39th year?
That sounds right.
Yeah,
that sounds right. Yeah. So Lynn's great, you know, won so many Big Ten championships, a national championship. He's the dean both in tenure and in leadership and spirit. And he does a great job. And, you know, we're having a turnover with our women's tennis team. We had five terrific seniors that left last year and a bunch of new faces, freshmen, and so it goes. And looking for continued good things for our women's tennis program.
Yeah, I wanted to start with that because that is certainly a new add to all that you've given and supported all of our sports. But to reveal and unveil, if you will, the new women's tennis locker room, you did that earlier this morning on campus. And by the way, the IU women's team will be opening the season here in a couple of weeks. Later this month, the Hoosier Classic out on the varsity courts if the weather permits. Hey, I want to talk to you a little about the weather situation because it's unfortunately written in the forecast. I mean, we're talking on Tuesday, and we're talking about possibility of a 50-50 chance right now, early week of storms and what have you. But I know there's a new text alert system, you know, that is in place. I'd like for you to maybe go through that and its information surrounding various things, not only the travel and traffic, but the weather and emergency situations, and another great ad that you've implemented here on game day Saturdays.
No, thanks, Joe, and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to raise awareness of that. You know, we try to communicate with our fans in a variety of ways. We mail to our season ticket holders. You know, you're kind enough to have me on the show once a month. We send things by emails, we have a Twitter site and all that. But increasingly, our fans are telling us they really like to communicate via text. Not only the college kids, but really, you know, people of all ages. And so, text in some ways is a real preferred form of communication. And we have a text alert system that you can get into. All you have to do is text IUFB, you know, IU football, but just the initials IUFB to 313131. Can't get much easier than that. IUFB to 313131, and you'll begin receiving alerts like you described from IU Athletics. We're not going to inundate them with a bunch of nonsense or a bunch of you know, requests for
just stuff they need to know.
Just stuff you need to know in real time, like you said, travel, traffic, weather, and emergency situations. And so I'd encourage all Hoosier fans to go ahead and text IUFB to 313131, and we'll give them real-time information. A lot of things that change quickly, like traffic, like weather.
Well, and let's stay right there because now we're two games in, and this is the third consecutive weekend of a home game. And we've had them, well, this will be our second 4 o'clock start. We had the 8 o'clock night game last Saturday. But what are you hearing? And talk a little about the traffic situation as you've seen evolve here over the first couple of ball games. And has it been tolerable?
Yeah, I want to thank Hoosier Nation because they've been doing the two things that are most important. Number one, arriving early. When I scoot around the parking lot, I can see that the lots are filling up earlier than they usually do, and I think that's because people are heeding our call to avoid the traffic by coming early. And we're opening the lots early. We're opening Hoosier Village early. Of course, you know, Yogi's is pretty darn close to the stadium. You can come and park at the stadium, come down here and have a fine cup of chicken velvet soup or a cheeseburger.
I hear that's pretty good.
Maybe a beer or two.
Yeah.
Walk back up to the stadium or any of the fine restaurants and other establishments we have here. But come early is key, and that's been good. And then, particularly if you come a little later, use alternate routes. So 37 can really back up if you're coming up right, you know, within a half hour of game time. I'd scoot over to 67, take that down to Spencer and 46 across, or even try 65 and take 46 the other way from Columbus. Now 65's got a little traffic too, so if I was telling my mom how to come down, I'd say, come early, Mom, and if you don't come early, take 67 to Spencer and across.
You know, and it's interesting you mentioned that, and I only throw it, we were talking on the air earlier today about it. You know, the Ellettsville Fall Festival is this weekend, and State Road 46 will be whittled down. I don't know. I can't see the one lane going both ways, east and west. What have you heard there, and what do you suggest for for fans maybe that living in the outlying area, Western Monroe County and on into Owen County?
Right. Well, that's a good point. I think what we do, and we're a day or two ahead of that, so we don't have the latest and greatest, but we'll be texting out and tweeting out alternate routes, taking into account things like the latest construction, you know, events at Ellettsville, if we've got something going on in Columbus, and we'll communicate that with our fans as the week goes on.
You know, it's interesting, too. Your command post has been, I think it's one of the best around, and there's so many people. I mean, yeah, you've got people in charge, but so many people that make up your team with reference to traffic and perhaps the weather situation and how that might evolve.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, Joe, because that's a really great, I think, story behind the story of all that goes into the effort to make sure our fans have a safe and secure experience at our games. I wish everybody could go up and see that command post with all the TVs up there. We've got a certified meteorologist up there, the head of IUPD, state police, all the police agencies, EMT, Earlston Bean, our outstanding event services leader, monitoring things in real time to make sure that our fans and our players are safe, and we're never going to let a lightning strike sneak up on us or a wind shear sneak up on us. Those guys are on top of it and prepared to make the appropriate accommodations if we do end up in some choppy water there.
I know it's early week, but how's the gate look for Saturday? First of all, you have a team that, and we had a lot of Hoosier fans. Remember that day? I got to laugh because you came in and that was the hottest darn day when I interviewed you at half. When we were down there in Bowling Green with that sun.
Oh my God!
Oh, I mean to tell you, the Hoosiers won that day. That's been a number of years. I can't remember how long that's been, but anyway, the point I'm trying to make, it's not that far of a trip down to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and vice versa. What are we looking at? A 4 o'clock game with a very good football club coming in. That fans they travel well from down in the other big red country down there.
They do, and you talk about that trip to West Kentucky. It's memorable for a number of reasons, including it was hotter than Billy be damned with that sun coming in, and then the plumbing had set the hot water to the toilet, so you couldn't even get a respite, you know, on the John. But the good thing about it was, you know, when you go to places, you're the AD, it's kind of awesome. They give you a little fruit basket or something. Yeah. The basket at West Kentucky was full of bourbon and chocolate. That was my best basket ever. From the Hilltoppers. Then we went down there and beat them, which was great. No, I think it'll be a great crowd, Joe. 4 o'clock kick is right in the strike zone for us. They're a really outstanding team. If you look at any rankings, they're ranked ahead of probably every opponent we'll play but for Ohio State, Michigan State. These guys are the real deal. And they're coming in here, and I think they feel good about themselves. So our guys are, providing them the respect they deserve, and we'll be ready to play. And I think the crowd's going to be really great because we're 2-0. If you look at the Eastern Division, I know it's early. Look at the Eastern Division of the Big Ten Conference. There's four teams, 1-1, and three that sit 2-0, and we're one of the three.
Yep.
So that's where we like to be. And I think our fans start paying attention and turning out. And it should be a hell of a game. I mean, this is a six-year quarterback for West Kentucky.
Yeah,
and
he throws it around.
Good football.
Yeah, no question about it. So the new bulbs and the scoreboard and everything else will be, we can expect another high-scoring affair. You know, I was kidding the guys. Some of the guys, I was talking to Nick Mangieri earlier in the week. It's too early to start labeling this team the Cardiac Kids, but for an old man like me now, that's two come from behind wins. And, but the way we put the finishing touches on that with an exciting play defensively, Fred, was sent the fans home early.
Yeah, it was great to see the defense step up. And, they were much maligned after week one and really came through. And I think it's fair to say, won the game for us last weekend. And I think some of our defensive guys might take exception to you feeling like we need to get the bulbs tuned up for the Western Kentucky scoreboard. I think they've got a lot of pride and they'll give Western Kentucky all they want.
Well, we're just getting started behind the scenes tonight with Fred's Glass, brought to you by the IU Athletic Department, and we'll touch on a lot more a little bit later. Sherry Dunbar, Cruzan joining us, along with Courtney Harnish, and of course all of our teams in action, including A.J. Janney's Field Hockey Hoosiers. They'll be playing again at home Friday afternoon. We'll continue along, have more conversation. It's a Tuesday night, our sports conversation live from Yogi's Grill and Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, and we'll continue along. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, a Tuesday night, along with our producers, Jim Ritter downtown, on-site producers, Mike Glasscott, Joanna Glasscott, Ron Ryder, the new owner, and his outstanding staff of servers here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. You know, before we leave football, and I was talking with Jeremy Gray, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and we were going more in detail about the new Cuban Center, Fred. But that being said, I know that IU Athletics also, the first athletic department, if you will, and again, this is way over my head, to install the new 3D from Replay Technologies out at the stadium. Kind of give us the cliff notes, and how much of this whole program is being involved in football this year to date?
Yeah, it's really been big in football, and part of that is because Kevin Wilson's really embraced it. You know, he's a math major undergrad. He's got a master's degree. He's a smart dude. And it carries over into a real curiosity about new technology, and he's really embraced that with both hands, and doing things like, you know, in my mind, I call them like electronic flashcards. He does quick hitting 3D imagery of defensive alignments, and then has Nate and the other QBs put the goggles on, and so they're not just looking at two-dimensional film; they're like in the middle of the play. And then they just read off their reads early on and make decisions on what they're going to do. And so it's boom, 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 one after the other. And he's actually driven some of the technology, because heretofore you couldn't pause or reverse that. But Kevin said, gosh, that'd really be helpful if I could pause and reverse it. So our scientists went back into the laboratory and were able to do things like that, which might seem like a little thing, yeah, but it's a big thing when you're trying to help trained student athlete. So that's been awesome. We're really hopeful that we'll be able to get the 3D replay and video capability. You know, that thing when Jaws is breaking something down on ESPN, all of a sudden the camera jumps from the line of scrimmage to the backfield to a bird's eye view and all that. We're going to be able to do that at Memorial Stadium, I'm hoping, before the end of this football season.
Okay.
So we're working on that. And then, of course, we get a running start at basketball. So all basketball season, we should be able to have that 3D technology, which will help for training, recruiting, and creating a great broadcast experience, which I think will help us get some better TV times and so forth.
Yeah, it's a, just like I say, it's a total advancement into the new world, and that's the world we live in right now from a high-tech standpoint. So, yeah, keep us posted on that. If it's feasible, we can have that accomplished for a football game, and I'm sure you will. You just mentioned basketball, and obviously I can't go by it. I go by it every day, and have been there a lot. But, give us an update on how things are going construction-wise out at the hall.
Yeah, they're going great, and I really want to thank our partners on campus, the architect's office, Tom Morrison, his whole crew, the architects at CSO, Shield Sexton, the construction manager. They're just doing a great, great job. We're on time and on budget. The great thing, Joe, is we're up out of the ground. That's where a lot of the stuff can get derailed, because you find stuff you didn't know about. But we're beyond that. So mostly now it's above ground stuff. A lot of our bids are already out and back, so we can have some confidence that we're on our budget. There's not going to be a lot of fun stuff to see this first season. I want to temper fans' expectations. They're going to come into Assembly Hall. A lot of ways will be the same old Assembly Hall, because we're doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff this cycle. But next basketball season, when they walk in, it'll be, particularly outside the bowl, really a different place, and something that I think they can take a lot of enjoyment in. It's going to be a little challenging when we're playing in that building and half the doors are shut and all that kind of stuff. We'll communicate, help make sure people get in the right places and have a good experience, but please bear with us this upcoming season, and then be ready to bask in the glory of what will be a really tremendously improved Assembly Hall.
Well, I know in just a bit we're going to be talking volleyball with Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan, and they're off to a solid start, Fred, and a good crowd. They technically have been hosting two tournaments, but due to the scheduling and everything, and Sherry certainly has beefed up her schedule, but they did go out and got back home and won the Hoosier Invitational last weekend, and in style they swept three teams.
Yeah, three big wins, especially, well, they're all big, but Friday night to take a highly regarded Virginia Tech team and just kind of spank them right out of the gym was I think an appropriate confidence builder. This team feels like they really have a lot of confidence. They take the court not hoping to win, but knowing they're going to win, and that's such a big difference. And so we're really excited. They've played a really quality non-conference schedule, and I think, put themselves in a really good position to roll into the Big Ten season.
Well, I know Todd's got his soccer crew, and they're going to be busy tomorrow, and they've got their hands full with Butler again, who's having an unbeaten season through four, and then a tough loss at Penn State, but yet two when it's all said and done, and we're just getting started, and certainly one game does not dictate an entire campaign. Women's team will start the Big Ten this weekend. They got to get over some injury problems, but I like what I'm seeing. And I know you have, too, from both our soccer programs.
Yeah, the men's program is really encouraging. It was a tough loss to Notre Dame, tough loss to Penn State. But one of the things I've learned about soccer is, you know, you can dominate, and lose a game, or you can kind of stink and end up winning the game. And, you know, we dominated those games in most categories. And, yeah, it's a bummer you lose. But, you know, the non-conference schedule is a tune-up for the Big Ten season and ultimately postseason play. And so I love the philosophy of playing the toughest teams. And, yeah, I want to win. Believe me, I want to win. But I'm very encouraged that we're playing so well. And I think these guys have a chance to be special this year. I'm excited about that. The women's side, talk about the injury bug. Three ACLs, that's just kind of unheard of. It's really bad luck. But meeting with Amy Burberry today, and she's taking it all in stride and moving kids around. And they believe, and I really like what Amy's doing with that program.
Yeah, she has been blessed with how she is recruited, and if anything, this team probably is as flexible a squad as she has had in her being her third year. So yeah, we hope that and wish the very best for the recoveries of those women that are currently on the DL. Time for our we do it once a month. Fred does saluting an employee, a department in the spotlight, and we'll do it for September. Take it away.
All right, Joe. Well, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches because we have so many good departments and staff people that contribute just in so many different ways. But it's been a while since I think I've really shown the light on media relations. And media relations is a little bit of a misnomer because not only do these men and women do a great job in communicating with the media and making sure that we provide all the information, get our stories out. But a lot of times they become kind of almost a de facto member of the staff, you know, helping with things on the road and so forth. The leader of that group is Jeff Keg, J.D. Campbell, a longtime major contributor to the athletic department and men's basketball. Ryan Sheets, Jeremy Rosenthal, Nick Reith, Caitlin Davis, and Nate Weikers do a great job, and we appreciate that. Put in a lot of hours and just really help our teams put their best foot forward. So I appreciate the whole department. Any and all of them are deserving of being the employee of the spotlight. If it's okay with you, Joe, I'll move the employee with the spotlight right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Caitlin Davis. She's a newer member of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Started working here last winter. And she works as the media relations director for women's soccer and softball. We wanted her to work with volleyball, but, you know, Sherry Dunbar is so hard to work with that we gave Caitlin a break. And I'm smiling and teasing you. We let her pass on volleyball, but the kids are great. You know, like Courtney's awesome, but Sherry can be a little challenging. But anyway, we've been a little short-staffed as we've tried to fill a position. Caitlin's volunteered and picked up a lot of slack. And also, we're all hands on deck occasionally with football, so she's done a great job with that. So Caitlin Davis is my employee in the spotlight.
Well, I know Jeremy Rosenthal, he's doing a great job, and he is doing the publicity for Sherry's volleyball Hoosiers. And
he got the short straw, but he's doing well.
And by the way, we want to add a name, and that's Andrew Lentz to the list of media guys. He moves in and moves away from baseball. I don't know how that's going to evolve. I'll find out more about that. But Andrew has done a great job with Chris Lemonis, but he now moves into men's basketball and will work under J.D. Campbell. So, and again, he's, I think this is his third year, maybe. The tendency in this area to come and go, but we have been blessed with men and women both that are professional journalists that have found a home here at Indiana U, and that's key.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I was reminded of that when we were giving out our service awards with the athletic department, because it is a very transitory business. And for us to have the benefit of, you know, Wendy Poppy getting her 30 years, Scott Dolson 25, you go right down the line, and especially media relations, particularly mobile, and, you know, Jeff Keg, J.D. Campbell, a lot of people you go down the line, they've been here, made a home, and done a great job.
Well, they have indeed, and great job, Fred, going behind the scenes, filling us in on all that we need to know. It's Fan Day coming up Saturday. Western Kentucky looking for a good crowd. The weather hopefully will cooperate. Fred went through everything, and again, the big storyline again is the new text alert system. And just remember, just text IU Football 313131.
Exactly right, Joe. IUFB 313131. And you'll get all the news that's deserved to know.
And we'll have plenty more to talk about next month, along about the 20th or so, when Fred pops in for another edition of BTS. Enjoy that that soup and whatever else you want to have tonight, my friend. And as always, thanks for filling us in and going behind the scenes.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Fred Glass joining us, Vice President, Director of Athletics. And when we come back, we'll talk Indiana University volleyball with the coach in her ninth year, Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday night, Sports Conversation, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Thanks again to the man that runs the athletic department, 24 Sports, One Team, the IU Athletic Department, proud sponsor of Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass, and continuing our Indiana theme, and they are on a bit of a roll, headed west, young lady, Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan, joining us to Greeley, Colorado,
yep.
And Northern Colorado Invitational. Well, you took care of one. We talked in preseason. We talked last week, and you're excited about this team, and congratulations on what was accomplished out at UGym last weekend.
Yeah, we were really excited to play at home. You know, we're on the road the first four out of five weekends, so to be at home and have a packed house on Friday night was really a welcome home for us. So playing Virginia Tech, who at the time was 6-0 and had votes for the top 25, and going out in front of our own fans and beating them in three sets, you know, and not even going four or five, was a really nice start to the weekend for us.
You brought a young lady that has been a foundation slab in your program here in her collegiate career, young lady that prepped at Muncie Burris High School, and long known as a volleyball mantra, if you will, down through the years. Courtney Harnish, talk a little about your senior. We'll bring Courtney on here in a second. She's your libero, but she's been doing this since day one.
Yeah, Courtney, you know, is obviously our captain this year and has done such a great job for us. But coming out of the Muncie system, you know, playing Munciana, which is one of the top clubs in the state, and then playing Muncie Burris, her mom coaches and is a great coach. So she's a volleyball kid and a gym rat. And, you know, for us to be able to recruit kids out of programs like that, it really helps us a lot, because they understand the higher level. They transition quicker to the Big Ten speed, and they're able to impact our program right away. And she is exactly that, and has done more probably for us. So, beyond the court, which she's earned a lot of playing time in her career, beyond that, she's been a great leader and a great ambassador of the 24 Sports One Team and of just what we represent at Indiana. So we're really proud of her.
And she's going for the three-peat, and we're talking about the Big Ten Distinguished Scholar Athlete Award. And as I mentioned right at the top, you take apart all of the great student athletes that we have had, and she's right at the top of the list with what she's been able to accomplish off the hardwood.
Yeah, she's, you know, we bring in recruits and we want her talking to them and, you know, just being a great role model. She's not one that's going to be the loudest on the court all the time or yelling or doing things, but she just does it the right way. And for our young kids and all the athletes to see someone like that, just, you know, get it done in the classroom, time manage, lead, do, you know, always available to do things like this and community service and just, you know, takes care of the opportunity that's given. And I'm sure she'll talk about it, but even the opportunities over the summer that she was able to have, people that appreciate this get a lot out of it, and I think she's really appreciated her experience at Indiana and what it's given her, and she's made the best of it, and I think that's what this is for.
The reason she wears jersey number one, there's a reason behind everything. We bring her on, Courtney Harnish, and Courtney, thank you very much for taking time out. Congratulations on that nice win you had over
thank you.
But talk a little about your collegiate career to date and finding that time between being a student and an athlete and how it's gone for you over the course of your career.
Yeah, well, it's definitely been a transition coming from high school and then over the 4 years. And being a senior now, looking back, I handled it differently every year, but I think I had growth every year. I've always been a really level-headed person. School has always been my top priority, along with volleyball. So coming in, I knew it was going to be tough, and I knew that I wanted to learn, and that was a big thing. So it's school, you're student athlete, so it's school and volleyball, and I think that Coach Dunbar prides our team on that, and we really put a focus on education, but also being good leaders and good teammates. So the biggest thing about college, I came and I found a major that I love, and that's what makes learning so fun. So I get all these awards, and it's great, but really what comes out of it is I love going to class every day, and I also love coming to practice, so it's win-win.
Well, it has been win-win, and it's interesting that you said that you try to continue to raise the bar each and every year. So you have great expectations, but that tells me a lot about how you were raised.
Absolutely. I always go back to my parents,
sure.
And I give them credit, and my older sister, she's a great role model as well. They always taught me kind of just do the right thing, be the bigger person in every situation, and kind of just take advantage of all the opportunities thrown at you. So coming to college, I could easily just focus on volleyball or just focus on school, but I've really made an effort to listen to my parents, and if anything is put out there, I'm going to go take it because I know it will help my future, and I can help other people along the way. It's great.
Courtney Harnish joining us, and she went to Muncie Burris High School in Delaware County, obviously, and in the fold is one of the five seniors on Sherry Dunbarker's Ann's volleyball team. And just talk, Courtney, if you will, a little about the captaincy. Got that out. Being the captain your senior year and what it will mean taking this team forward and competing in the premier league in all of USA soccer.
Yeah, it's volleyball. Definitely a big honor to be a captain in the Big Ten. And I take a lot of pride in that, and I take a lot of responsibility in that as well. I've worked a lot with Coach Dunbar, with Sports Psych, other people helping me become a good leader and ways to lead this team. So from all angles, I'm working on being a better leader off the court, on the court, and kind of just get this team in the right mindset to win because we have all the tools and all the potential. It just really takes getting us together. I think that really has shown this preseason. We're in the right direction, so we're making big steps towards it.
And Sherry, you know, we talk a little about it. You and I talked about it, about toughening this schedule up. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. We can go. It's a litany of top-ranked Penn State. I don't know how many national championships they've won.
There's eight teams right now. Ranked in the top 25 in the Big Ten.
How'd Maryland do last week? Anybody beat them?
Yeah.
They're still going
they're
along.
Still
we throw in Wisconsin, Ohio State, PU, and Michigan and the rest. But we also talked about setting up the more difficult schedule because when it's all said and done, it's really needed when the final analysis of who's in, who's out is going to, you know, take it on. And that would be great for Courtney and that seniors to advance their season this year.
Well, as you look at the RPI, like you and I talked about,
yeah.
And, you know, it's not just about winning. You have to win against quality opponents. And you also have to win and gain confidence going into the best conference in the country. So it's a twofold thing. You can't. You know, you want to rack up as many wins as you can to get in the NCAA tournament, but those wins have to mean something. And, you know, if you beat somebody that is you're clearly overmatched to, I'm not sure you're gaining a lot from that, you know. And in fact, we looked at talking to RPI people in the NCAA, and basically anyone under 250, you actually lose points in RPI even if you beat them because it's not helping you. So, you know, it's a big mathematical equation. There's no perfect rendering of it, unfortunately, but I think we've done a good job this year especially of really looking at the team we have, the maturity, they understand the conference that we're in, and putting it in front of them and saying, okay, here it is. It's going to be a challenge, but we can do this. You know.
And you're winning on the road. I mean, competing and winning well on the road, and now you go out to Colorado. This group of Utah State, Eastern Kentucky, and the host, how's this kind of size up for your squad?
Yeah, Northern Colorado is a really solid team. They have some losses under their belt, but they played three top 25 teams already and taken sets off of them. So I think they'll be the challenge, you know, hosting the tournament. Eastern Kentucky is, you know, one of those feisty young teams that are that are going to give us a little run, and Utah State, a little bit bigger, more athletic team. But, you know, all help us in the fact that they run different offenses and different defenses and challenge us to be at the top of our game. And in the end, what you and I talked about is we have standards that we want to set every practice and every match. And so our job is to meet those standards. And if we do, we believe we have a really good shot to win. And so we've really stayed on that every single day, and the kids understand it and know where we're headed.
Well, and that's a good sign that Northern Colorado has already beaten three top 25 teams, so this could be a good resume maker build on what you've already done this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
So Courtney Harnish joining us, the outstanding libero. And, by the way, on the court, a little career milestone here recently, over 800 digs. But this is something you've really prided yourself in from day one, hasn't it?
Yes. For volleyball defense, I actually grew up being a setter. But once I got a little older, I learned that you can't be 5'3 a set in the Big Ten. Yeah. So I kind of had to change career paths. But
Not in this league.
Not in this league, at least. And really, defense, I had to transition to find a way to lead out of being a libero. It's a completely different game. But I love it, and I pride myself on trying not to let the ball hit the floor. And I don't get to score. So if I can set my team up to score, that's my job.
How do you like this team's flexibility, not only from a defensive standpoint, but what you're seeing offensively at the net, Courtney?
Yeah, we've made huge strides offensively. Amelia's hitting amazing in the front row. But one of the big things we pride ourselves on is we have 15 players that can go in at any moment and make a big difference on the court. And so I think that puts a leg up on other teams.
And you know, it was key, too, to lay the foundation early against Virginia Tech, and you did it convincingly, as Coach was talking about. But how key was that to come back home before the home folks and get a feel for how it's going to be when the Big Ten teams start coming in here in early October?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a couple new players that haven't experienced being home yet, so that was nice. But also Virginia Tech, we knew they were a great team, and we knew we had to be prepared. So we came in, there was huge build-up to the game, and I think we did a really good job of being prepared and kind of taking them like it was a Big Ten night. So that was great.
Well, you know, we can call him Coach. He's Fred Glass. Call him Mr. Glass, anything you want. He helps sign the checks and things like that, so we'll call him Coach Glass. But he was mentioning to me, and I was going to bring it up anyway, talk about the summer and talk about your trip over to Vietnam, because I know that was, you know, you were just saying how fulfilling it is to study and to learn. How neat was it to go over there and to teach?
Yeah, well, that was another opportunity that was just kind of put out there, and I saw it, and I was like, I have to do this. And I was completely supported by everyone to go. So I went for a program called Coach for College, where I got to teach math and coach volleyball, along with life skills and kind of goal setting to middle school age kids that really are at a disadvantage and don't have a great chance of making it past almost middle school. So I was in 100-degree weather without a shower and eating food that I couldn't tell what it was, but coming back, it really changed who I was.
Well, and you had a chance. How advanced are they with the sport? You had a chance to coach 8th and 9th graders over there, and you were in rural Vietnam. I mean, I don't know if it's urban or rural. It's pretty
rural.
Doggone. Yeah,
pretty rural.
But how advanced and fun was it?
If you consider uneven pavement and a saggy net advanced, that's what I would call it. But, no, those kids were super willing to learn. I actually had a couple kids that were pretty athletic and pretty good. But, yeah, hot pavement, no shoes, just running around trying to – they were great listeners. They would try anything I threw at them. I can't say they were greatly skilled in volleyball, but they wanted to learn, and that was fun.
You were talking about life skills and goal setting. you had their attention, though. Maybe they weren't advanced in the offense and defense. What did you learn from that experience, and what was your game plan? What was your A, B's, and C's along those lines to the kids?
The biggest thing for goal setting was they really looked up to me, and they called me a professional athlete, which was pretty cool going over there. But the biggest thing was to keep things simple and to kind of teach them that if they tried at anything, that they could succeed if they really put everything they had into it.
Well, not only did you go to Vietnam, you've been so involved here, and Courtney Harnish joining us, the senior captain and libero on the Sherry Dunbar Crusans Volleyball Hoosiers. They'll be coming back home to have home matches in the league in early October, but talk a little about what you've been able to put back into the Bloomington community, which has been your home for 4 years. The list is huge. How much satisfaction has that been?
Yeah, that's one thing. I go through these 4 years, and I kind of forget how much I've done and how many opportunities I've had. But, yeah, this year I'm actually doing service learning at a daycare for 18 to 24-month-year-olds. I volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club. I've worked at Pinnacle School for Children with Dyslexia. And with volleyball, I've also been able to get involved in the community with Meadowood and just other things around Bloomington, which is great because when I say I'm going home, it means Bloomington now. So to be able to give back to the community and really be a part of it, that makes coming here even more enjoyable.
Well, I mean, you know, this is a great, great story. I mean, this is why I love to do what, and we can sit here at a leisure and have sports conversation and talk about people that you recruited in here, Sherry. You got to be so proud of.
Yeah,
Courtney.
I mean, you listened to her, and I mean, she came back from Vietnam and just talked about, you know, changed her life, and now she's talking about grad school and what she wants to do with that. And, you know, those people that get those opportunities, but what they do with them is the most important thing. And so you go over and you see the disadvantaged kids, and you know, I saw the thousands of pictures she took and how much it meant to her and these kids. I mean, it's the cover of her phone, you know, a picture of her and the kids. And so, you know, people like that can make a difference. And that's what we try to tell our kids all the time. Even, you know, I don't care what you do after college, just be a difference maker. You know, I don't care if you want to be a lawyer, a teacher, a doctor, you know, it doesn't matter to me, or coach for that matter. But I think Courtney is one of those that, you know, we're going to look at in 10 years and be like, wow, you know, look what she's doing for the world, not just, you know, what she did when she was at Indiana.
And to find that balance, I just tip my cap to the men and women that, you know, find the balance and stay after it. And talk about life skills and goal-oriented. She's right at the
–
you're right at the top of the list, young lady. I would be remiss. Of course, Courtney was on the all-tournament team, but she mentioned Amelia Anderson and Oweli Nwazi. Yeah. She's starting to – not that she hasn't, but she's starting to get real involved, and that's they were on the all-tournament team, but the pieces are really each week – each level of competition, you got to be feeling pretty good.
It's nice to see the senior class really step up. You know, Wayle was coming out, you know, off of back surgery, and so she's just started to see some really significant time. In that final match, she had 15 kills, one air, and six blocks, and Amelia had 26 kills, three airs, and hit over 400. So, you know, to see, you know, those kids really step up into their own and really help us, you know, towards the end of their career and really be bought in, totally bought in, is really nice to see in a senior class.
Well, Courtney takes care of the digs. Amelia takes care of the kills. And you have a junior, and she'll be back, and that's Megan Tallman.
Yeah.
And she, I heard that we were into our game, but anyway, I heard that the right before, they had a nice ceremony for Megan Tallman, who currently went over a big milestone in assists.
Yeah, 1,000 assists.
Wow.
So, you know, that's good. You know, she's doing a good job, and her and Mac were battling it out, and she's won the position for now, and she's learning, and she's getting better every day, and I think she wants to improve right now. So, you know, it's a good, healthy competition in the gym right now, and that's what we need is for, you know, we played some teams that didn't have a lot of depth, and kind of what they had on the court was what they had, you know, and we have the depth that, you know, Shantae struggled a little against Northern Arizona. We put Jazzy in, and she bounces the first ball and gets a block the very next play, you know, and so getting people in there that not just another body, but someone that's very productive and can help us take that next step is fantastic. So, you know, I think Courtney's right. We have 15 players. We want to use all 15 in certain instances because we're a team, and however we can get the win, you know, I think we're all focused on winning right now.
Well, you are indeed, and you're headed the right way, and it helps to have young ladies that are high quality, not only on the court, but off the court in Courtney Harnish. Courtney, thanks for dropping
Thank
in, taking time.
Me.
It was just great, and we'll do this again.
Yeah.
We will do this again. I got a good feel about what's to come ahead in the Big Ten.
I hope so.
Sherry, thanks as always.
Thank you so
we'll
much.
Talk to you. Enjoy your night.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend out in Greeley, Colorado, everybody, for the IU women's volleyball team. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, I tell you, that's why I love to do this show, talk to people like Courtney Harnish, not to mention, keeping up to date with Hoosier athletic teams. Our thanks to Fred Glass, BTS, earlier tonight. Hey, our employee of the week out at Shortstop Barbecue Train, KC Brown. Congratulations to KC. Tomorrow night in the zone, Terry Stoltz joins Glass and your phone calls at 6. We have the Reds late night, again, AT&T Park. With the Giants. Cubbies got beaten that first game with Pittsburgh. Ouch. So that'll do it for tonight. We got the Bloomington South Girls Conference Indiana champions with us next Tuesday, among other things. Have a great week. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's Grill and Bar. Have a great week.